All right, the Audible is on the air. It's a Wednesday afternoon. I don't want to get that wrong again. Called it Wednesday. I called it Monday morning, I think, and I got grief from the fellas in the back.
I'm pretty sure.
All day long, no doubt about it. So it's a Wednesday afternoon. You're watching the Audible presented by Aquafina. If you're watching us, you're watching us on Periscope. Time to take your questions. Just go ahead and go to the bottom of your page there in the message box.
Who's going
to
be the
Send
first
your
one?
Questions in. You know who's usually first?
Who's that?
Is, let me see. Lisa's, what's her name? Nathan and Megan's mom.
Yeah,
usually
Nathan
the first one right
mom.
Out of the box.
Absolutely.
But I'm looking at from the other day, she was way down at the bottom of the list. So she
probably was a little busy.
She may have been working or something.
Yeah, we got
she may
it.
Have been working. So
yeah.
No problem. But usually I give it to her. Or Fins Up One usually is one of the first ones out of the box. So we'll get your questions all taken care of. Remember, you can always watch us on a delayed broadcast beginning tomorrow on the Dolphins Facebook page. Usually about an hour after the show, we get on MiamiDolphins.com. And if you want to watch some of the archives, you can go to the Miami Dolphins YouTube channel and catch them there. So that's how you see us. Sam Madison here with me, number 29. Kim Bocamper here with you. And Sam, we're kind of free agency is kind of, you know, that in that stage where it's dragging on today. Dontari Poe, the defensive tackle out of Kansas City.
Correct.
Kansas City has decided they're not going to re-sign him. He's out on a tour. He went to Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he went to Jacksonville. He was in the building this morning. Not sure if he's still here. Not sure if he's come or gone. But he was in the building this morning. And when you look at a guy like Dontari Poe, it's funny because offensive linemen are making $6, $7, $8 million, $10 million. Defensive tackle, they're not getting paid that kind of money anymore.
Yeah.
So he's kind of down there, which kind of you look at from a Dolphins standpoint, I believe where the Dolphins are right now, I want to say they've got $14 million left in free agency. Or in salary cap to spend. I believe the number is somewhere between $5 and $7 million they set aside for rookies.
Mm-hmm.
So they're sitting there at about $8 or $9 million, yep. somewhere around there, to either fill out their fill out these other free agents, extend Jarvis. You know, that's a possibility in there somewhere. Or, you know, who knows? Maybe they make a splash and they go after a guy like Dontari Poe, who you could sit next to Ndamukong Suh. And get them in there and get Jordan Phillips get that because you need that rotation in that they've been going there. So it's intriguing. Dontari Poe's intriguing more so because he's been all these places and I give him credit. You know, a lot of guys go to the first place, they show him money and they jump on it. And I don't know if maybe he's not seeing the money he wants, but he certainly is taking the tours and listening to what everyone has to say. Meaning the Dolphins are. You know, unless something has happened in the short period of time that we've been on the air, he's still in play.
One of the things that you said, Bo, really, you know, that hit home is, you know, when you look at those defensive tackles now in the National Football League, a lot of teams are starting to go back to that 4-3 where mm-hmm. we saw for a few years. A lot of teams jumped to the 3-4 and now getting into that 4-3 scheme, you can put one of those defensive tackles in and pretty much hold up and get that double team. And now you have those linebackers to be able to scrape and fill where they only have one job, and that's to hold up those defensive line, and that's what Poe really does. With Sue, we already know he gets double-teamed every single play. You know, we saw the flash from Jordan Phillips as well. You know, now he just has to get that strength to be able to hold down the anchor and allow those linebackers to fill. When you look at what we've done with Kiko Alonso, adding Lawrence Timmons, even though Timmons is one of those guys that can get on the edge, help your pass rush, we saw firsthand when he's able to fill and plug holes, he's one of those guys that can do that. And now he's back there in the middle. Kiko is on the outside. I think we can get a lot of production if we was able to get Poe in.
And the thing about Timmons is you look at him and he's a guy that's he's been durable.
Yes.
He's played. He doesn't get hurt.
Only
he shows up. You know he's there. And Poe, I believe, is about the same kind of guy. I think he's an every down guy. So there certainly is an opportunity there, whether the Dolphins feel like they want to extend themselves out for that guy or not. Dante Hightower, I guess I read something today where he's wanting to make a decision today, tomorrow, or somewhere like that. I think he's out of the Dolphins price range.
I think he went back to the Patriots already.
Already done today. So, okay. So I knew that was about there. So, you know, that really for the Dolphins from an area of need really is the last big name, big price guy, and it's out there. But it's funny, Sam, how over the years pricing in the NFL has changed. Running backs You look at AP out there. He can't get. He,
absolutely.
You know, they're going to give him a Happy Meal ticket along with a few dollars here and say, hey, here you go. The running back market is the price of the running back. You talk about, you know, not so many years ago they were the premier guys, right. And now they're don't need them. Don't need to pay that money. Don't need the best guy. We can get by with a second tier running back.
And you know, everybody goes and look at Ezekiel Elliott. You know, he's done phenomenal things as a rookie. So now with the way that these organizations are really looking at, and they're going out and they're trying to find these backs, these gems, and all of a sudden getting the production from them, you know, those running backs, they're going by the wayside, because we look at Coach Gase and we look at the number of backs we had on this roster last year. He's trying to find what he can maximize all of these guys with, not only on the offensive side of the ball, but using them in the special team category as well. So now, excuse me, when you're talking about having three backs, now you're going to four and five. What are you doing in the special team game that's helping me make that diverse decision to keep these backs or these players? And that's the thing that they're doing around here. They're keeping the guys that they have. They're using them in multiple positions. And now we're seeing the wealth of having an opportunity for those guys upstairs to go out and find these type of players and bring them in here and get the production from them.
And you look at, I mean, you look at our guy, look at Jay Ajayi, got him in the fifth round.
Absolutely.
And look at the production that he gave to you. And you go back all the way to Denver with Davis. I mean, he was a late Terrell round Davis, draft pick.
Absolutely.
Priest Holmes.
Yep.
You can go on and on. Guys that are, you know, free agents that became, you know, Pro Bowl running backs and everything. So, you know, those running backs, they're more easy to find, or they become easier to find, and so the price goes down. But anyway, the point being, the Dolphins are in pretty good shape. Sam, you've taken a look at free agency. You re-sign Kenny Stills.
Yep.
You re-sign Andre Branch. You get Julius Thomas in to be a pass receiving tight end. You get Anthony Fasano to fill the blocking role, the tight end position. You get Nate Allen, the safety from Oakland, to get them in the competition in the cornerback spot. Ted Larson, offensive guard. He can play. He's a multiple position guy on the offensive line. He can move around. You get him from Chicago. You get William Hayes, the defensive end from the Rams, and then you get Lawrence Timmons. And you're sitting here right now looking at it going, hey, you know what? There's a lot of – they marked off a lot of boxes in the areas of need for this football team. You feel good about where they're at right now?
I like it. You know, some of the things that we talked about early on of the audible right after the season was filling some of these voids. We talked about the linebacker position. We was able to go, and we talked about this as well, moving Kiko to the outside. We was able to get him on the tender, so hopefully we'll be able to keep him and re-sign him. But now you have that linebacker. And then you go and you look at the other positions. We talked about tight end, having a big tight end in the middle of the football field to pretty much help Ryan Tannehill down when he had those hot blitzes, being able to get the ball up into a big playmaking wide receiver, but yet and still the versatility that you can use Julius Thomas as well. Putting him outside, the most productive season Julius Thomas has had was with Adam Gase when he was in Denver, and we saw multiple formations. We saw him at an in-line blocking tight end position, and we also saw him out wide versus a running a linebacker or a safety. Even a mismatch is on corner as well, and he's coming to make some big plays. But all the pieces are helping the Dolphins, because of the young talent that we have at the multiple positions, and then what we're going to have an opportunity to do once we get into this draft.
24 touchdowns for the 2 years that he was with Adam Gase. And and I guarantee Adam Gase isn't telling Julius, hey, you need to be a better blocker.
Absolutely.
No. You just run down the field. You catch. We got Anthony Fasano to block. We'll let him worry about that. You do the other stuff. And, oh, by the way, Anthony Fasano, very close with Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
And so I would expect his production as receiver to go up just because I know Ryan – Trust him when he throws him the ball, he's going to catch it. And so I wouldn't be surprised if you see Fasano become a little bit more active in the passing game, certainly than he was in Tennessee.
But how special is that as a inline blocking tight end that somebody wanted you to do? Like, say, hey, now I don't want you to go block. Go out there and run routes. How happy are you as a wide receiver?
Because everything I've read about Julius Thomas over the last couple of years has been, you know, it always the caveat, well, he doesn't want to block, he doesn't block. And so he comes as a negative. I guarantee you there's no negative as far as that's concerned.
Even when he was in Denver, it looked like Julius Thomas as well as Demaryius Thomas. Whoever was running, they looked the same.
Yeah. And the other thing, no, don't forget, now the Dolphins, you know, even a lot of times last year, even when their tight ends were hurt, they wanted to be in a three tight situation.
Yep.
They would use Sam Young to come in as that third tight end. So now you've got, you know, I'm not sure what the situation with Thomas Duarte is coming mm-hmm. back, the rookie. He's got to get a little bigger, and he's got to be, see, he's got to fight his way for reps with that in that tight end position. You still have Marquise Gray,
yep.
who certainly accounted for himself very, very well
right.
last year and became better as the season went on. So you got you, because Julius, Marquise, he can block or run.
Yep.
He can block or receive. You got a blocker in Anthony Fasano. You got a receiver in Julius Thomas. Expect to see a lot of three tight ends out of this football team this year.
But what about even having an opportunity to put the double tight ends?
Sure,
at you got two tight ends on the line, and then you have two off. Yep. Dirty as well yep. as yep. You know, Gray on the outside, yep. and you only have one back.
Yep.
You still have the power running game. You have the blocking yep. to get up on the second level right now, but yet still, you still have the play action pass for Adam Gase to be able to get these guys out into flat, the back corner,
yep.
front corner, make a decision, and Ryan's going to put the ball, yep. and you have some guys that can make
you
can play
do a
for
lot
it.
Of different things. It gives you a lot of options there, so feel pretty good about that. Sam, what do you say? We go ahead and get some questions here.
Yeah, let's do
that.
It.
By the way, you're watching the Audible presented by Awkwafina. You can go ahead and send your questions in through Periscope. If you're watching, just send it at the bottom. Go to your message board down there. And we'll go ahead and ask you. By the way, Sam, got that dry throat. I got to have a little Awkwafina myself.
Yeah, take a little Awkwafina, man. You know, the weather's a little crazy all over the country. And for us down here, you
know. I know we got people from all over. Because yeah. everywhere I go, people mention the Audible to me.
Yeah.
I know we got people watching from all over. You can tell it's chilly down here. Sam got his jacket on. I got my heavy short T-shirt on. I'm going to tell you, you may be up in the Northeast. That Nor'eastern just kind of came through and pounded you guys and beat you down. Yeah. You had snow. Then you had ice. But let me tell you what. You think you got it bad. It's darn near 63 degrees here. It's darn near 63 degrees here. And people are wondering, what are we going to do tonight with the big chill coming? If there's a chance it could get down to 50 degrees. What are we going to do down here in South Florida?
We ain't going to keep blowing like this.
Bundle
oh,
up.
Oh, my.
I saw a lady today walking down the street. She had long pants on. She had a hoodie sweatshirt with a hood overhead.
Not a starter
tied,
jacket.
Tied.
A starter jacket.
Like a little, you know, had that like she's like looking like that. And I'm going, come
with
on, man. Come on, ma'am. It ain't that cold. You know? But anyway, Piero Signon. Hey, Bo, what are your thoughts on trading out of the first round for more picks? Well, you know, normally I would say no.
Absolutely.
But I think since you've done so much in free agency and filled a number of gaps, if you look at the board at 22 and you get there and it's around 19, 20, you're starting to see, you know, you get down the lower and that you can start to see where things are going to fall into place. And you say, hey, look, you know, these guys, we don't necessarily need them. But I know if we, you know, because you know how you can go from 22 in the first round to 35, you know, in the second round,
right.
get some extra picks, and then and still have a pretty valuable guy
absolutely.
There. So I think it depends. I think it depends on what the Dolphins see below where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if there's some guy, if they're at 18, 19, and the Dolphins have one guy that they've had their eye on and say, well, this is the guy we want, then they'll hold on. But if they don't and they see that somebody's going to be down the road, I wouldn't be surprised. Wouldn't be surprised to see them trade down, gather more picks, and continue to work on their depth.
Absolutely possible,
yep.
you know, because of the thing that we've talked about. And we don't really know exactly what they're going to do on a regular basis, Bo, but, you know, our projections and what we've been seeing, we always speculate, you know, signing Kenny Stills was huge.
Yes.
And also signing, I think, the biggest signing of it all was Cameron Wake.
Yes.
Have an opportunity to get Cameron Wake back, solidified as a corner. But as that defensive end, but what we saw Cameron Wake do last year, I think they're going to try to do the same type package for him this coming
yes.
year, because they know what Andre Branch is going to do. And now you bring in Hayes. You get that
yep.
extra. Hopefully you'll get a little bit more out of Terrence Fidet. He's been around
yep.
for
yes.
a couple of years. And now you can have that specialist come down on third down.
Mm-hmm.
Cameron Wake get out to the quarterback.
Yep.
You know, it looks really good. But have an opportunity to get Kenny Steele signed up. Have an opportunity to also bring back, you know, Andre Branch
yep.
because we need needed to solidify another defensive end, and he was shocked. He was like, what, I'm staying in Miami? Yeah, yeah. Like, perfect, good. Yeah. So now we're able to, you know, kind of push back a little bit and say, hey, let's just wait. We're comfortable with what we have, and let's just see what falls in our lap. And you always get some dime a dozens in that second early second round.
Sam, there's been a lot of talk this year, and we continue to talk about it, a cultural shift in this organization. And the cultural shift began quite frankly, back when Mike Tannenbaum came in.
Yep.
Then you bring in Chris Greer. Then you bring in Adam Gase. Then you bring these guys all line up. And I, to me, the fulcrum in this whole thing is Adam Gase.
Yeah.
He's a guy that makes everything balance and work the right way. But that being done last year, where they made a cultural change inside the locker room with players and get them to look, releasing the two offensive linemen mm-hmm. early in the season, you know, after a bad game by them, sent a message out. Benching Byron Maxwell early, sent a message. So he sent a message in the locker room. But at the same time, while he was kind of pushing guys out, he was wrapping his arms around a lot of other guys. Now you continue on and you look at Kenny Stills coming back, Branch coming back, you know, going ahead and extending Cam Wake, going ahead and getting Rashad Jones and tagging Kiko, knowing that you're going to do something for him long term. How much do you think that cements that cultural change as kind of a phase two with what this staff was able to do during the regular season?
Before, over the last couple of years, we saw the big name free agents come up for us, and guess what? They left. I mean, Kenny Steele is one of the hottest free agents in the National Football League in the last couple of weeks. And guess what? He comes back here because he's comfortable with the situation that he's going to be in. Most guys in Kenny Steele's position, where you have a guy like Jarvis Landry, who you know who is that focal of the offense at the wide receiver position, and they see the Devontae Parker, you know, the prototypical guy. That's not me, but that guy is the prototypical wide receiver. And he's like, you know what? Man, all of us mesh together. We make everybody. We complement each other. Guess what? I'm comfortable in that situation. I know I'm going to make my plays. What'd you say, Bo? Every ninth play, he was in the end zone. Yep. You know, and you looking at the whole dynamics of the offense and saying, this really wasn't there the whole time. That really wasn't there the whole time. If we finally get all of this together, we have a really good unit. Let me stick around. Yep. Let me see how this thing can go. It's just really phenomenal to see how Coach Gase has come in here, grab this locker room, whether it's veteran guys or if young guys, and one of those guys that you miss when you talk about setting an example, Jay Ajayi, the first game.
Yeah.
You know what? They're not ready to go.
Yeah.
You just stay at home, and we're going to take the guys and utilize them until
you want to have the red ass, you stay home.
Absolutely.
You know, when you get running done with that, then come on, we'll use it.
Really like what all of those guys, like you said, from Tannenbaum all the way down to Coach Gase, what they have done.
And it's really remarkable when I read, you know, Kenny Stills after, and his talk about how much he wanted to come back and how much, you know, he really, you know, as much as everyone's going, he's going to go out and get the most money. He took less money because I guarantee you there's more money out there for him, and because he wanted to stay here. Andre Branch, happy to be back, ecstatic to be back. Lawrence Timmons, all he can talk about is, hey man, I'm excited to be here. Everything I've seen, everything I've done, everything I've heard, I want to be here. And so you got guys here that didn't just say, all right, look, what the heck, I'll just sign. They signed because they wanted to be here because they see something happening here.
And the players, you know, you really vouch for one another. You know, before, Bo, it was pulling teeth to get guys. Even when I was here, even, you know, the last couple of years, 2004, 2005, and we was trying to court, you know, different offensive linemen to come down here, you know, big-time wide receiver, and we never could get them. And now it was all because of how the structure of, you know, upstairs was.
Right.
Now these guys have done a 360.
Yeah.
You know, these players are looking, they're seeing the things that Coach Gase is able to do, and this is all young players. We talk about it all the time. One of the youngest football teams, you know, in the National Football League, and for him to change this thing around, get into the playoff, you know, in his first year, guys are like, what is he doing down there? Let me go down there and see exactly if I can add a little bit of this or that to it, and hopefully we can get over the hump.
There used to be a fracture in the front upstairs.
Yeah,
people jockeying for, you know, I want that guy's job.
Absolutely.
I want this, and you know, everyone's trying to get in players' ears and this and that, which to me created a big. That was one of the big problems here. You go up there now, it's everyone's on the same that rudder is pointed this way, that ship's going that way. There's one guy holding onto the rudder.
Yep.
And it's smooth sailing, man.
And it's fun, you know, just to be around them. You know, they're energetic. I mean, they're easy to talk to. Yep. You know, they open their doors to us. You know, Bo, I mean, for as the former players around here for a while, if it was only a certain people that you was really getting in between those front doors. But now he's opening it up to all the former players to come around, you know, give back, help the guys out, talk about it, you know, be a part of it. Yep. What we're building, how we're trying to build it, and it's through the former players with the current guys. But everybody's on the same page. Yep. I just really, really like it.
Ab McLovin, hey, Sam, what was your experience when you went through free agency?
It was relatively quick for me. Actually, I got released. It was during, Saban's time. He called me to the office. I think I was on borrowed time anyway. Yeah. I had only one visit.
How many years were you in when Nick came?
I was already eight. My ninth year.
You're going into your ninth year.
Well, I finished nine here.
Okay, yeah.
I finished nine here.
Right.
And then I took one visit. You know, the thing for me was having instability at quarterback. The whole entire time, you know, after Dan left, it was always jockeying between Jay or bringing somebody else in and this and that. It's always a feud between who was going to be the quarterback and always set our team back because, like I said, we couldn't get the wide receiver that we really wanted because they didn't really know. But having an opportunity to take that one visit, I had defensive ends that I was used to that could get to the quarterback because I had it here for all nine years. Right, yeah. And then have a young quarterback that they believed in, it was just one choice
for
me.
It's funny that you go to the quarterback as a defensive back when you make it. But you're right. I mean, stability and the chance to win. Yep. Ab McLovin, hey, Sam. Well, they already asked it. At Jay Bradley Warner, will Timmons be as productive as Dansby when we sign him? I hope he's more productive than Dansby. I like Carlos.
Yeah.
I like Carlos. I thought he's a smart player. I thought he's a good player. But again, I think Dansby and who else was the other guy?
Porter.
But there was the other, we had another free agent they signed. He ended up going to Oakland, I believe. Anyway, the only thing with Dansby and what we've seen out of the linebackers up to now has been making plays behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
And I mean on the defensive side of the line of scrimmage rather than at or behind the line of scrimmage. And I think that Timmons gives you a little more of that maybe than Dansby when Dansby was here.
And you have to look at Timmons and what he was at the beginning. I mean, you know, since 2000, since 2007, he's only missed two games, Bo, and that was in his second year.
Yeah.
You know, so this guy is durable. They take care of his body. You know, and I go and I look at Harrison, who's up there, he's been playing under and behind, and I'm thinking, I'm like, okay, he's going to take the same exact ingredients that he's been doing and learning from Harrison, and he's going to be able to play at least give us two or three really good years.
Yeah.
But when I look at his size, he is a thumper. He is a guy that is a knockback tackler. He's a big body guy. He had, like you said, those long arms. Yeah. He's really deceptive at the point of attack because he's still short. He's able to get up under those linebackers. Mm-hmm. And because he has that strength to push that offensive lineman back in the backfield and make it a big pile. Yeah. And now, you know, everybody can converge. So hopefully he's going to be able to use his instincts the way that he did in Pittsburgh out at the edge and bring it to the middle of the football field.
At Black Man Game, would you re-sign Bushrod? I like Jermon Bushrod a lot.
Yeah. He'll be a flex guy for you. You know, he'll be able to move all the way around. You know, he played the center position a little bit. You know, he did a really good job at the guard position. But now he'll be that swing guy. He understands this offense. He's been in for a number of years up under Coach Gates. And that's the reason why Coach Gates brought him down here, to help these other guys transition into the type of scheme and the offense that he has.
You know what I like about him? He's a football player.
Yeah, he's a
line him up
player.
And
he'll
figure it out.
Yep.
And he's a, you know what, again, the one thing about him, you can't have a better guy in the locker room.
Yep.
And you know what, it's funny, you start going through this roster of guys and you go, oh, great guy in the locker room, great guy in the good guy in the locker room, you know.
And then he give you 100 on the football field.
Exactly.
I'll take it all day.
At Future Finn's staff, 2-9. What do you think about our new tight ends and our receivers? Well, we touched on that a little bit, so let's we'll move on to that, past that.
But like it, though.
There you go. at Devin 7. Sam, any thoughts on coaching DBs somewhere? I know you went to, you interned a couple of years, right?
Yeah, I interned a couple of years, and you know my situation. I didn't get to do it last year, you know, because of my daughter, but, you know, really into it. I love it. I've been doing it since, you know, my last year playing in the National Football League. Hopefully one day I'll have opportunity to step in there, but, you know, I have to do the basics. I have to work from the ground up, and, you know, I'm still out there training a lot of college kids, getting ready for their draft and combine days. So I'm definitely in there. My name is out there, and hopefully I'll put my hat in the ring.
Yeah, well, you look at T-Buck and Lamar and Pat and OJ, or I mean, Gadsden and those guys. Yeah, a lot of guys doing it. I'm surprised that you're not over there, you know,
headed that way soon.
Work with
man.
The DBs over there at American Heritage, man.
Who knows?
Scooby Fins Up, do you believe this roster is better than our healthy roster last year? When is the draft? The draft is April 29th.
Yeah, last weekend.
I think 29th is the first day of the draft, right? Thursday? 29th is a Thursday? Or the 27th? No, I believe the 27th is the Thursday night, is the first round of the draft. The 29th, I believe, is a Saturday.
Okay.
So anyway, it's that weekend. It's that weekend. I know because I got a couple things I've got to get out of. So roster better than when the roster was healthy last? I do. I think, you know, you bring Nate Allen in, you bring in Lawrence Timmons, you know, and Julius Thomas. Because if you're talking about last year's, I'm not talking about the guys that we kept because they're here, but you had a safety, you had an offensive lineman, you had a big time linebacker, and you had a tight end. So yeah, I would have to say the roster's better than it was last year.
Yeah, and you go to the running back position, like, oh, we're set at that position. Yeah. Last year we didn't really know.
You didn't know,
and then we had to go out and sign a veteran later on. And then still, what is Devontae Parker going to do on the outside? I think he stepped up. Yep. You know, you talk about everything going on in his first year. Yeah. Oh, he wasn't able to do this. Coach Gase was able to bring the best out of him. Yeah. And still, you know, with these defensive guys, they've been playing in a carousel of coordinators and not really hearing the one voice and understanding the one heartbeat. Now Coach Gase, he's keeping everything in-house. These guys are going to understand the verbiage, the language, the ins and out of the defense. So I think they'll play a little bit quicker and not have to sit and second-guess themselves. Yeah. So I think now, because of everything is in place, and it's been in place for a couple of years, and they had some success, you know, that's the hard part. Sometimes, you know, you have a really good roster, and you don't have any success, and then you blow it all up. But you had some success with some really young guys. Yeah. I think you can move forward from that.
Do you believe this wrong? Okay, did that at King Edlin Bowl. Are we building the defense around Sue? If not, shouldn't we be doing that? Yes, they are. This defense is going to be based, you know, starts it with 93, and then you work around that.
Absolutely, work around it. I mean, and you know, from the day that he became a Dolphin, you know, it made that defensive front strong, and it made it fierce because you have to put two guys on it. Yeah. Or guess what? You can overload it as a defensive scheme and make them run somewhere else, and you should be able to get some positive plays. We didn't make those plays majority of the time, whether it was anchor problem at the end or a linebacker problem, couldn't get off a block from the big offensive line. Hopefully we made those adjustments and hopefully we'll see the production, but it's definitely around Sue.
And look, for me, he brings a little nastiness to him, and I'm on that 100%.
And he's been really good for us, though.
Yes.
He's been really good.
Yeah. He had a great year in the locker room, too, with those guys last year. At Finn's Fanatic 13, is Poe still in the facility? As I said, he was here this morning.
Right.
I know he's here for around breakfast time. I don't know exactly what time. Whether he's still in the building or not right now, I can't tell you that.
Did you ever go on a visit to sign? Somewhere?
Us?
You, yeah.
For what?
You know, for free agency or anything.
What was it? Was for?
Because
we didn't have free agency.
Hey, Bo, now these guys are getting ready to go. Is breakfast there for them? Is lunch there? Man, it's amazing back here, right?
You know, when I first got drafted and came here, the only thing that Coach Shula said, just bring your cleats. There was no food, nothing about breakfast. There was no breakfast. There was no nothing.
Just be ready to practice.
My breakfast was on the field. Go out there and get
Hey, Sam, I'm drafting you. Hey, just make sure you're here on time and you're not late, holding out.
I played where there was no free agency and rarely any trades. So, you know, you were at where you were at. Sam, what DBs you've been looking at the draft? A little premature here, but what DBs you looking like coming out of the draft?
Wow, it was some really, really good kids. Yeah. I watched the defensive backs work out. I really liked the kid's footwork from USC. Mm-hmm. I had an opportunity to watch him over the course of the years, you know, with the Paul Hornung Award.
Yep.
This guy's been phenomenal at all positions. And, you know, even watching Peppers when he came and did some really good movements, but there were a lot of 6'3", 6'2" corners that can really move, has some really good hips as well, you know, because when I'm out there looking, I'm looking at that ankle bend, those hip movements. It was a really good guy. So this is going to be a really deep draft. So don't look for a lot of big names moving around. You saw the Patriots. They're going to grab a couple of guys, and a couple of the top corners going to move around, but there's not going to be a lot of movement this year in the cornerback position because of the way that they saw these kids up there in that combine. Yeah,
I think there are 15 quality cornerbacks in the top in the top 100 players that are going to be picking draft.
6'3", and they're running well. Yeah. Oh, man, you can get a whole lot done against these big wide receivers at the line of scrimmage now.
King Edlin, a foot of snow in Delaware.
Sorry.
It's still chilly here, King. Still chilly here, King. You know that. Black Man Game, temp dropped 10 degrees today. 75 degrees in LA. Hashtag struggling. King struggling out there in LA. You can't tell me you don't have no Rams gear or Raiders gear. If you're living in LA, Black Man Game, I know you either got some Raider gear or some Ram gear. I guarantee you. Bill in Missouri. Bo, do you think that Grant will be used more in the offense this year? I'm interested to see. Jakeem Grant, first of all, he's got to find a way, and I'd imagine he's going to be catching a lot of punts this offseason.
Absolutely.
He's got to find a way to secure the football as a punt returner if he wants to secure his job on this roster. That's number one. But if he can do that and they're comfortable, I got to believe in the back of my head that Adam Gase looks at a guy like that and is thinking mismatch all over the field. But he's got to solidify his job as a special teams guy before he gets more reps on the offensive side.
Sometimes coaches try to give you one thing to do, and what they get, they try to dumb it down for him and put him specifically back there and strictly as returner, you know. And later in the season, you know, it has some fumbling problems. So when you can't do that one thing, you know, well, Bo, it's hard for them to try to move on and put you in a position to do something else. They want to see you execute that and give you a limited role, especially in the way that they built this roster as well, you know, because they took up a roster spot at that wide receiver position where they could have used it somewhere else to utilize him specifically for special teams. And toward the end of the season, he kind of let him down in the long run. They still had to put Jarvis back there, which was Coach Gase was trying to move
him
out of that position. So he's going to have to really sure up catching those punts and those kickoff returns and being explosive in that. And then when he does, and then when his number is called on the offensive side, because they threw him in a couple of times, didn't get any explosive plays, and that's what they really was looking
but
for.
But they've got to have confidence that he's going to catch that ball when it comes, before they start thinking about putting him in the offense. But I'd love to see him have some role in the offense. Yep. At Scooby Fins Up, is Squatch a Rick and Morty fan? I have a hunch. I don't know who Rick and Morty is. Squatch, is he, or do we know who that is, or we don't know who it is? Squatch doesn't know who it is.
He's struggling.
Scooby Fins Up. So I would say Scooby Fins Up, Squatch is not a Rick and Morty fan. But he is. You know what I found out about Squatch?
What's that?
He likes to wear thong underwear.
Thong.
He does. He likes to. For whatever. They're man thongs. Maybe they're mongs or whatever. I don't know. Black Man Game answered us. Die Hard, or Dolphin Die Hard from Alabama. So he's a Dolphin fan from Alabama that evidently relocated into LA. All right, you're good to go then, Black Man Game. You're good to go with that. Sorry it's gotten so cold out there, but we're at 65 here. We're really on the hard line of that. All right, that's going to do it for the Audible today. How was that, Sam?
Man, it was good, man. Can't complain.
Friday, we got an early start on Friday, right, Leon? 2:30 in the morning, because you know why?
In the morning?
St. Patty's Day? No, 2:30 in the afternoon.
Oh, okay.
Because all these guys, it's St. Patty's Day.
They're trying to get out of
here. They all want
to
get out and start swilling beer, making asses of themselves all around South Florida, getting all liquored up, making knuckleheads of themselves.
Make sure y'all have a designated driver.
I guarantee you one of those guys is going to be puking somewhere on Friday night from drinking green beer. Trey's the one that can't.
What?
Oh, Jeff Griffin. Jeff G. Oh, Jeff
can't hold it.
Jeff can't hold his liquor. He can't hold his green beer.
Oh, man.
I did. All right. That's going to do it for the show. For all you guys back there, thanks for your help. For everyone that watched the show, we appreciate it. Everyone that sent their questions in, appreciate that also. And we'll see you Friday at 2:30. Remember, a little bit early start. Sam, always a pleasure, my man.
Thank you, buddy.
All right. We'll see you on Friday.